Again, it's nice to see everyone that's joined with us tonight. We'll maybe open our Bibles, please, in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel. And chapter number 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, please. In this chapter, there are three miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performs. Three individuals that he meets in Mark chapter 5. You maybe remember that on a previous Sunday we have spoken about the first of these events that we read of in Mark 5, and most of us, I'm sure, will be familiar with those events. That is, you remember there was a man there, a man that we call the man of the Gadarenes, and he was demon-possessed. He was there in the graveyard, and men had done their very best to try and restrain him. They had tied him up, they had put chains on him, but he was unrestrainable. He broke the chains, and the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, came, and he was able to deal with the man that nobody else could deal with. And maybe you remember a little bit about the man of the Gadarenes, that demon-possessed man. Well, we have already shared one or two thoughts on him, and tonight I want to read from the second part of Mark chapter 5, and there are two further individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ meets in the latter half of Mark chapter 5. He meets a woman, and she has an issue of blood that nobody has been able to cure. And he meets a young girl who, of course, is dead at the point he meets her. And we'll read about these two individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ meets in Mark 5. So that's three miracles. The man of the Gadarenes, the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus' daughter, the young girl who is dead. So Mark chapter 5. And we'll read together from verse number 21. Verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and that's in the crowd, and he said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talithai Kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I see unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. And we look to the Lord for his help as we think about these events together. So, Mark chapter 5 then, the Lord Jesus Christ is busy, he's active, he's working here in Mark chapter 5, and there's three sets of problems, as we've mentioned, that the Lord Jesus Christ deals with. Three very different kinds of problems that he comes across, and the Saviour manages to deal with each of these problems. There's a problem of demons at the beginning. We didn't read about it tonight, but there was a man there, and he was possessed with many demons, and the Saviour was able, you remember, to cast those demons out. And then there was this lady who had had an issue of blood for 12 years, and despite the best attempts of the medical profession, as it was at that time, she remained with her disease. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to deal with demons, and he was able to deal with disease. And perhaps you would have thought that within the capability of the Lord Jesus, but maybe you would wonder at the possibility of him ever being able to deal with death. And certainly there were those there that didn't think the Lord Jesus Christ was up to the task of dealing with someone who was dead. But nonetheless, the Saviour, he was able to deal with demons, and he was able to deal with disease. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to deal with death as well. And we have these three pictures of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 5. And I think you know what the Word of God is telling us is this, that it doesn't matter how bad our circumstances are. It doesn't matter how extreme our circumstances are. It doesn't matter if people have given up on us, or if people have tried their very hardest to help us and have failed. It doesn't matter if we are regarded as a total write-off, as a waste of time and a waste of energy and a waste of effort by everybody around about us. It doesn't matter how little people think about us or how big our problems are. The Saviour is a Saviour who can deal with problems in the extreme. And we must never ever forget that. We must never forget it for ourselves. It doesn't matter how low you and I have fallen. It doesn't matter how low down we've got. It doesn't matter how big our problem. It doesn't matter how much sin there is in our life. It doesn't matter how many worries we have and how many cares and how many troubles. It doesn't matter the mess that we're in. The Saviour is greater than any mess that we can make. He's a Saviour who can deal with the extremes of problems. As Christians, if you're a Christian, you do well to remember that as well. For sometimes, you know, as Christians we can look at people and we can say, well, you know, there's nothing the Lord Jesus can do for them, they're too far gone. And sometimes we give up hope for these people. But we mustn't ever do that. We mustn't ever do that. That just shows that we have little appreciation of the greatness of our Saviour. For the Saviour that we have here is a Saviour who is able to come in, and a man that's been chained up that couldn't be restrained, the Saviour can cure him. The Saviour can restore him and deliver him. And this dear lady, 12 years she's been attending the doctors. I suppose there's a few folks in Newcomer that have been attending the doctors for 12 years, right enough. But this dear lady, she's been attending the doctors for 12 years, and they can't do anything for her. And yet the Saviour is able to come in, and he's able to cure her. And that little girl, 12 years of age, and she's dead, and the Saviour is still, he's able to work. Now you'll notice there at the beginning of that section that we read, verse 21, you'll notice there that the Lord Jesus Christ arrived, doesn't he? Verse 21. And it says this, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." And there in verse 21, where we began our reading tonight, we have the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a great event here, wasn't it? It was a great event for Jairus and his daughter. It was a great event for that woman with an issue of blood. But when they saw the Lord Jesus coming, when they saw him getting out of the boat, when they saw him putting his foot upon the land, there was people there and they gathered to him. There were people there and they saw that here was someone that could really help them. And they made sure that they got to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were folks there, and they saw that the Lord Jesus Christ had come, and they grasped the opportunity to find out about him. You know, we read later on in Mark's Gospel that that's not always the case, that sometimes when the Saviour would arrive in a place, folks wouldn't be too interested in him. But here in Mark chapter 5, there was a group of people, and they were interested in him. You see, why were they interested in the Saviour? They were interested in the Saviour because they had some particularly big problems. There was a man there, Jairus. He had a little girl. And as he looked into the eyes of that little girl, he saw something in her eyes that he had never seen before. She had all the colds and the flus I'm sure that other children had had over the years. But as he looked into the eyes of his little girl, he could see that this time it was different. That she was seriously ill. She was on her deathbed. He could look into the eyes of that little girl that he brought up in the home for 12 years. And he knew that if something dramatic didn't happen here, he was going to lose her. And he had really reached a point where he was in desperation. He really knew that he needed someone. He needed something. He needed someone dramatic. Something dramatic to happen. He needed an intervention of God himself. He really saw that there was a great need there. And when he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he heard that the Saviour had arrived, he knew that here was the person that could help him, that could meet his need. And then there was a woman, and she was very similar. 12 years her problem had been going on. 12 years she had been slowly losing her blood. You can only lose your blood for so long, and eventually you run out of blood to lose, don't you? Well, she knew that her time was limited, and she had to have something done as well. What I'm saying is this, that as the Saviour arrived, there were certain people, and they really knew that they needed the Saviour. And they had a real appreciation that there was a great need in their life, and that it was only the Lord Jesus Christ that could do anything to help them. I wonder where you are in your life. You know, sometimes we look at our life and we complain about our life. And we see that we've got a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties and things are piling up. And sometimes it makes us anxious and it makes us upset as we think about all of the difficulties that we have to cope with. But you know, sometimes it's in those kind of circumstances where we've really come to the end of our own abilities to cope. Sometimes it's in those kind of circumstances when we just can't manage anymore. Sometimes it's in those circumstances that the Saviour speaks to us. Sometimes it's in those kind of circumstances that God moves in our life. And he points out someone that really can meet our need. Someone that can help us. And he points us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that was the kind of circumstances we have in Mark chapter 5. Men and women, and they knew that there was a great need in their life. And they knew that only the Lord Jesus Christ could meet that need. I want to tell you, that there is a great need in your life. A great need in your life. Now, there's lots of things that you're aware of that you need. We all need food and we all need clothes and we all need money to survive. But the Bible reminds us constantly about something we like to forget. The Bible reminds us constantly that we are mortal human beings. That our time in this life is limited. It's set, it's fixed, and one day the clock will run out. And the Word of God reminds us that it is appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, says the Scriptures, the judgment. And you and I, as we stand and sit here today, we have a great need. And the greatest need above all of our needs is to be right with God, to be ready to meet God. That is a great need that we have. And the Word of God tells me that the only way to be right with God and to be ready to meet God is to have a Saviour, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, to have our sins forgiven, to have had a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And so maybe we can see as we begin Mark chapter 5 that it's not just about a man called Jairus or his daughter or a woman, but, you know, it's about me and you. It's about the fact that you and I really need a Saviour, and here we have a Saviour. Well, we have a Saviour and he's able to deal with very different problems, isn't he? The demons and the disease and the death. He's a Saviour too, of course, and he's able to deal with very different kinds of people. It's a feature, you know, of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he touches people from very different backgrounds. You've got a man here, for example, at the beginning of chapter 5, and I suppose you would maybe call him a tramp, a vagabond. He was a man that had no fixed abode, he had no possessions, no money. He was insane, in fact, by maybe our modern standards, we would call him insane, and he lived in a graveyard. And then there was a man who was very wealthy, a ruler of the synagogue. He would be at the top of the social pile. And then there was a woman, I don't know what kind of background she had, but there were three different people from very different backgrounds. And the Saviour that we read about here in Mark chapter 5 is a Saviour who is able to deal with very different circumstances. He's able to come into lives that we would maybe have given up hope for, but he's also a Saviour that's able to deal with all sorts of different kinds of people. He's not just a Saviour for the middle class or for the rich or for the poor, but he's a Saviour who is able to touch different kinds of lives, and he's able to save those lives, and he's able to change those lives. So it doesn't matter what kind of category we fall into tonight, we have a Saviour here, and we can be assured that he's able to deal with us, and he's able to help us. Well, there are very different circumstances and very different people that he deals with, but my thoughts that I want to share with you tonight, really, I've got to do more with the things that are the same down through Mark chapter 5. I want just to think about some of the settings there in Mark 5, some of the things that we find as we read down through these three miracles. You'll notice that each of these three miracles, each of the times we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is something said about fear, something about fear. And you'll notice too that there's something that's said about failure, and there's something that's said about death. And that's the kind of setting that we see the Lord Jesus Christ moving in. It's a rather bleak setting, isn't it? There's a setting of failure. Men have failed, and the Saviour comes in. And there's a setting of fear. Men are afraid, and the Lord Jesus comes in. And there's a setting too of death. And against that backdrop, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. When we think about the fear, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's able to come in and he's able to give a word, you know, that just calms the fear. You'll read it in verse 36 as he speaks to Jairus and he says, "Be not afraid, only believe, only believe." And for men and women who are in fear, the Lord Jesus Christ has a special word, a special word. Be not afraid, only believe. And for those that have experienced failure, the Lord Jesus Christ has, well, he has a special way with them. He's got a special way to take men and women that have lives that are broken and empty and lives that have failed. And he's able to take those lives and he's able to change those lives. And we'll think about that too. So there's fear and there's failure, and then there's death, and when he comes across death, he's got a special work there that's able even to deal with death. So let's just think about those three things together. As you look down through Mark chapter 5, you find, of course, that there is this failure. Look down there at maybe verse number 4, would you? Well, verse number 3, chapter 5, verse number 3. You've got the man there of the Gadarenes, and, well, men have tried their very best to help him. And verse number 3, it says this: he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Men had tried to help him, but, well, there wasn't anything they could do. They had failed. And you remember there down there, verse number 25, that certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Men had failed to help. there are some things that men are able to do, and there are some things that men aren't able to do. Men had tried to deal with the kind of problems that we have in Mark 5, and they just couldn't deal with them. They couldn't take a man that was bound by Satan and release him. They couldn't take this woman's life that was full of disappointment and change it. And they certainly couldn't have raised up that little girl from the dead. Folks could look at their lives and they could say, well, you know, my life's a failure. People have tried to help me and they can't help me. But you know, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes in Mark chapter 5, there's somebody that can make a difference. Christ has got a way of helping them. And I was interested to see, you know, that the way the Lord Jesus Christ helps these people is the same every single time. Christ's way of helping, Christ's way of changing life, it's exactly the same as you go down through these three times that he touches lives. As the man of the Gadarenes comes out to the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 6 we read, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And then verse number 22, when the ruler of the synagogue comes to the Lord Jesus, it says there that Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And then the woman who had the issue of blood, verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling and knowing what was done in her came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You see, here are men and women, and they've got all of their difficulties and all of their problems, and their lives are a mess and a wreck. Everything's a failure. But the Saviour, he's able to do something with it. And the Saviour has a way of dealing with them. And as you follow these three people, you see what's happening, don't you? The man of the Gadarenes, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the woman, she has her problems and she comes and she falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And Jairus, that very proud man, I'm sure he must have been a proud man, he had a very high position in the synagogue, he was right at the top of the social pile. Well, he comes and he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one by one, like dominoes, I suppose, each of them falls down at the feet of the Saviour. You see, each of them have had failure in their lives, and each of them have a disappointment, but they see the Saviour, and they come to Christ, and what are they doing? They're putting their trust in Christ, aren't they? They're saying, here is someone who can help me. They're not looking for magic. They're not looking for some cure to be handed out to them. But they know. They know that there's hope. And there is hope in a person. There is hope in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not too big a thing for Jairus just to fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And it's not too big a thing for that man with the demons to come and to fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and it's not too much for that woman just to swallow her pride and in front of the crowd to fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You see, they know that the only person who is able to deal with their problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's way of dealing with your problem and mine. God's solution to my problem, God's solution to my sin, is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the church. It's not in trying hard. It's not in good works. I remind you again of what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14. What is the way to heaven? What is the way to God? What is the way to be saved? That's the kind of question he was being asked, as is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I can't really help you very much at all. And the people in here, they'll try to help you, but they can't really help you very much either at all. There is only one person that can really help you. Only one person that can change your life. Only one person that can forgive your sin. Only one person that can assure you that one day you will be present with God in heaven. And the only person who can do that is the person who suffered and died for your sins at the cross. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. And Christ's way is to come to him and to fall down before him. You don't need to go onto your knees tonight, but just to bow your head, just to speak to him and just to tell him that you know that he is your only hope. That's what they were doing, wasn't it? As one by one
those three people came and they fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ. They were really saying this: we don't have any hope anywhere else. We've tried the doctors and we've tried what men can offer us. We've had folks try to help us. But we know, Lord Jesus, that you are the only person who can really meet us in our need. You are the only one that is able to help us. And so God's way for me to be saved, God's way to deal with my problem, is to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I notice that each of these three events here in Mark chapter 5, there was a setting of failure, a setting of failure. I notice too as well, as I read down through these three events, you know, that there's not just a setting of failure, and maybe we can each of us relate to that in our own life as we've tried our very hardest to change our life and do all sorts of things and we've made failure. But not only is there a setting of failure, but as you read down through it, you know, there's a real sense of fear, isn't there, down through these three miracles, a real sense of fear. There's a man and he's chained up in the graveyard and he's there amongst the dead bodies and people are afraid of him and the setting is a kind of fearful setting, isn't it? And there's a man and he's got a young daughter and she's just died and he's filled with fear as well, isn't he? But you know, in the midst of that kind of fear, the Lord Jesus Christ has a word. He has a word. And I don't know what your heart's like tonight, but maybe a bit like the woman, or a bit like Jairus, or a bit like the man of the Gadarenes. Maybe as you look into the future, you're afraid. Maybe as people speak to you about coming to know the Saviour, that makes you a bit afraid as well. Maybe as we preach and ask you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe that makes you a bit afraid. Maybe as we tell you that there is absolutely no hope apart from accepting Jesus Christ as your Saviour, maybe that makes you afraid. Maybe as we tell you that as God looks upon us, each of us are sinners in his sight, and we need that sin taken away by Christ, maybe that makes you afraid. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a special word to those that are afraid here in Mark chapter 5. And you'll read it there in verse number 36. He says this: be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Easy to tell people not to be afraid, isn't it? Some of us are quite good at handing out that kind of advice. You know, don't worry. That's the way we would put it, isn't it? We tell people not to worry. But the Lord Jesus Christ does better than that. He tells the man not to worry. And he gives them a reason as to why he shouldn't worry. We tell people when we see them upset and worried about things, worried about their bank balance, worried about their children, worried about this and that, we tell them not to worry, don't we? It doesn't do much good. The Saviour tells them not to worry, and then he gives them a reason why he shouldn't worry. He says, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. Don't worry, because I want you to put your faith in me. Is that right? There's a reason not to worry. I want you to take that problem. It's a big problem, remember? A young girl, 12 years of age, and she's dead. As far as men and women are concerned, there's absolutely no hope for her. But the Saviour says, I want you to take that problem, and I want you to give it to me, and I want you to put your faith in me. Be not afraid, only believe. There was plenty of people round about, of course, that would try and put Jairus off that day. And if you're tempted to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, if you're tempted to accept him as your Saviour, if you're going under a struggle and a turmoil and you're coming to see that you really need Christ in your life, you're coming to understand that the Saviour died on the cross for your sins, and you're really beginning to take these things seriously, then folks will try and put you off. And they tried to put Jairus off there in Mark chapter 5. As they told them, you know, that this problem is too great even for the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't you be too worried about people that try and put you off. As is the Saviour, be not afraid, only believe.
Jairus had to take a step of faith. For you and I to be saved, we have to take a step of faith. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. We have to see that we are a sinner before God. And we have to believe that when Christ died on the cross all of those years ago, he died there for me. God promises that if we take that step of faith, he'll take away our sin. He'll save us. He'll change us. He'll make us a new creature. Step of faith. The remarkable thing happened in our kitchen a couple of days ago. The boys have got some caterpillars, and about a fortnight ago, these caterpillars, they were crawling about the jar as they usually did and eating their green stuff. When they crawled to the top of the jar and they stuck under the lid of the jar, an old caterpillar bent up, and then about 24 hours later, something that looked a little bit like a sleeping bag unzipped itself from the bottom of the caterpillar right the way up to the top of the caterpillar. Remarkable event, really. A thing that looked like a worm with six legs at the front and 10 sucker legs at the back and 2 eyes curling up into a little ball, and then there it is with this cocoon round about it, a chrysalis round about it. And as it hung from the underside of the jam jar, its skin peeled off. And you could see the skin of the caterpillar peeling off from the head end right the way to the tail. And as that process reached the tail, it shed its skin and its legs, and it shed its head as well. Its head dropped off. And there was the caterpillar lying dormant on the underside of the jam jar. And for a fortnight, a remarkable thing happened inside that caterpillar. You couldn't really see it. But during that fortnight, that caterpillar basically dissolved itself. The only thing that was left of the original caterpillar was its heart, right inside the middle of the chrysalis. Its legs and its arms, its legs and its skin and its eyes, and all dissolved. Its head, of course, had already fallen off. Remarkable feat that I wouldn't recommend any attempts at home without the help of an adult. And there it was, hanging upside down, dissolved inside this chrysalis. And then 24 hours ago, the chrysalis burst open. And out from that chrysalis, there appeared a butterfly. You know, I thought that was a remarkable feat of faith, you know. For that little caterpillar to climb up to the undersurface of the jar and to let its head drop off in the hope that one day it would be a caterpillar, it would be a butterfly. But there it was. It started off with 12 legs and it now had 6 legs. It started off with 2 eyes and it now had 1,200 eyes. It had started off as a little bug-like creature and it was now an insect with 3 parts to its abdomen. It had started off crawling along the ground and now it had wings and it could fly. It had started off eating green leaves, and now it would feed on sugar and nectar. It had started off with a mandible that chopped up leaves, and now it had a big straw-like tongue that would soak up liquid, and it was a completely different creature. Of course, it had all evolved, hadn't it? I don't know how that one evolved, but there you go. There it was, that little caterpillar, crawled up to the top of the jam jar. It stuck to the undersurface of the jam jar, let its head drop off, and then it waited in faith. You know, sometimes we have to let go of the old things, don't we? We have to let go of the old things if something new is going to come. The little caterpillar knew that. It had to let go of being a caterpillar for it ever to be changed into a butterfly. And says the Lord Jesus Christ here to Jairus, listen, I want you to take your problem and I want you to let go of it. I want you to give it to me. And I want you to put your faith in me as your Saviour. Tonight, that's just what the Saviour wants you to do. He wants you to take your sin, all of that sin that's accumulated over the years, all of that malice and anger, all of that hurt and hatred, all of that fear, all of those things that you've said that you shouldn't have said and done and you shouldn't have done them. And he wants you to take all of that sin, and he wants you to hand it over to him to deal with. He wants you to believe that when he died on the cross at Calvary, he was suffering for your sin. He wants to be your Saviour. You need to take a step of faith, and you need to believe. Believe, says the Apostle Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do just come into thy presence tonight. We give thanks for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for the one that's able to come into these circumstances of fear and failure and death, and is able to deal with them. We thank thee, our Father, that in spite of the greatness of all of our problems, we thank thee that there is a Saviour who's able to meet us in our need. We do thank thee, our Father, for him, and we ask that if there's anybody here and they've never come to know the Saviour, we ask, our Father, that tonight they would come in faith and put their trust in him. So we give thanks for Christ, we thank thee for Calvary, and we pray for a blessing on the scriptures that have been read and the thoughts that have been shared, as we return thanks now in Jesus' name.